Welcome to the Hamilton Spectator Newsroom Insider. I'm David Crosby. How well do you know your doctor? It's a simple question, but a worthy one. Its answering can yield some unexpected results. I'm joined today by Joanna Frkatic, who recently uncovered some startling information about a doctor practicing in Hamilton. So Joanna, thank you for joining me today. You had a pretty incredible story about a neurosurgeon who's recently started practicing in the Hamilton area, as well as Richmond Hill, Newmarket, and Toronto. And as you discovered, he's got something of an interesting past.
Yes, it was pretty shocking when I started to do the research about him. He has been disciplined multiple times in the United States. He was disciplined in Minnesota for unprofessional and unethical conduct. He was also reprimanded in Wisconsin and also in Texas.
Wow, over what kind of time period?
So this all happened between, it was around 2010 when he was first disciplined in Minnesota, and that was related to four cases. And those four cases, one of the patients died, and the other one was left a quadriplegic, and a third one had a fractured vertebrae, and the fourth one alleged nerve damage. Now, these are cases that have not been proven in court. They were looked at by the Minnesota Board of Health, and so he was disciplined for his reprimanded and disciplined for his treatment in those four cases in 2010 in Minnesota. In Wisconsin, he was reprimanded in 2011. It's for the same four cases, and then in Texas, they looked at two cases in Texas and put some temporary conditions on his license in 2013.
So how is someone with this many violations able to move around and keep practicing without any repercussions?
Well, the thing that's really interesting is he actually has a clear license in most places now. So he in Minnesota, Minnesota is the only place where he no longer has a license, but that really isn't because of the discipline. It's actually because he let the license lapse. He was actually disciplined after the license had already lapsed, so he just didn't renew it, and so it's listed as canceled. But he was reprimanded for these four cases, and then they put these very strict conditions on his license that had to do with being supervised by a physician and having to do quarterly reports to the board and things like that. And then those conditions were supposed to be in place for at least 2 years. So after 2 years, he basically petitioned for those conditions to be removed from his license, and he was successful in both Minnesota and Wisconsin in having the conditions removed. So in Wisconsin, he has an active license with no conditions. And as I said, in Minnesota, the only reason why he doesn't have a license is because he let it lapse. And in Texas, the conditions that he had in Texas were to do 16 hours of continuing medical education. It was on record keeping and on risk assessment. And once he completed those, which was only a couple months later, the conditions were removed from his license. So he has, an active license with no conditions in Texas and Wisconsin. And in Ontario, it's really hard to say when it comes to Ontario, because he had an active license in Ontario already, and doctors are supposed to report in Ontario to the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario when they've been disciplined, but that's self-reporting. So the college doesn't talk about individual doctors. We have no way of knowing if he did report that discipline to Ontario or not. And even if he did report the discipline to Ontario, at the moment, it would not be included on his public profile because it happened before 2015. So there was some rule changes that took place that, if that discipline and those reprimands happened today, that would be on his public profile. But because it happened before September 2015, it's not on his public profile. So as an Ontario patient, you know, what's really concerning is that you have no way to look at his profile and know about these cases in the past or know about the issues that he had in the past.
Is that, should that not be the body, sorry, the job of the body, the college, to inform the public?
Well, I think that's really the key of this story. I mean, the story sort of has two points. One is to make sure that, you know, patients have the information they need about their doctor. But the other key point of this story is about, you know, a real transparency and accountability problem with the regulatory bodies. You know, I really strongly feel that I shouldn't have to do an investigative story in order for patients to find out really critical information about their doctor. Patients need to be able to make informed decisions, and to do that, they need to have the information. And it shouldn't matter what jurisdiction the discipline happened in. Patients should have an ability to see that and to, you know, make their own informed decision about, you know, their healthcare and their provider.
Absolutely. Do you know, so he has a private clinic in Hamilton. Do you know, if you could enlighten me perhaps and the listeners, there must be some kind of an inspection process for the clinic.
There is. So he basically, I should say he does not have hospital privileges, or at least he doesn't list any hospital privileges on his website. Unfortunately, he declined to speak to me. So I don't, he declined to speak to me through his office. So I don't know for sure. I wasn't able to definitely ask him about hospital privileges and those types of things, but his profile suggests he has no hospital privileges, which would mean he doesn't practice at all in a hospital in Ontario. So he is a neurosurgeon, so that would suggest he's not doing neurosurgery right now. But what he does have is pain clinics. So he owns pain clinics in Hamilton and Toronto and Newmarket and Richmond Hill. And he is the main doctor at the pain clinic in Hamilton. And so what happens is when you have a clinic that uses that uses anesthesia, certain types of anesthesia anyway, or does interventional pain treatments. So those are treatments that are like injections and things like that. Then the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario, they inspect those clinics first, and they do some observations as well. So they come in before the clinic is open, which is what they did in Hamilton. They came in and they have to give the clinic approval before it can open. So they did that. And then within 6 months, they're supposed to go back and take a look at how the clinic is doing when it comes to record keeping and observe some procedures and make sure that everything's being done properly. And then they give it a second pass. So unfortunately, that part hasn't happened yet. For the Hamilton Clinic, it received its pass to open, and then it hasn't yet, either hasn't had that inspection yet, or the college hasn't put it on their website yet. Now, one of his other clinics in Toronto did have both a pass before it opened, and then a pass after it opened. And then after you get that pass after you open, then they they come back and do inspections about every 5 years.
Oh, okay. This strikes me, as you were saying earlier, as a huge problem or gap that needs addressing on the part of the regulatory agency in terms of informing the public.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is just one case of many that media organizations have brought up at different times. It comes up every so often. Media will take a look at a certain doctor and be the one to sort of give the public the information that they need about that doctor. And, you know, I think the time has really long passed for there to be some, you know, meaningful changes that would give the public this type of information, because really the only way that you would know this as a patient is if you sort of did that research and digging yourself. You know, you would have to go and find these orders in Minnesota and in Texas and in Wisconsin. You'd have to go and do all that digging yourself to get that information, where, you know, I really think that, you know, there's been enough of these cases now that it's really clear the public needs more information and, you know, needs to be able to get the information they need to make to make good decisions.
Absolutely, I agree with you, and thank you for doing the work so that we do know about this.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's great to talk to you today.
You as well. Thank you so much, Joanna.
Thanks.